good. It's a nice photo up there.
Friends, if I haven't met you before, my name is Dan. I get to be the pastor of this congregation. We've got an all-in service today, so I thought I'd get out my big rescue Bible. It's the Bible that I take with me whenever I teach SRE here in Taiwan or public school. And it's a contemporary English version, and so it's easier for the younger and the older minds to grasp, hopefully. So we'll be tracking through the passage today in a slightly different translation to what you just saw on the screen. But as I go through the passage today, my verses that I'll refer to is up on the screen as well. Well, my son Caleb is just over 2.5 years old now. When he turned 2, he first learned how to sing Happy Birthday. And he loved, therefore, learning how to sing Happy Birthday. And he loved singing Happy Birthday so much that he was singing Happy Birthday for the next 3 months. He was singing Happy Birthday to the people that he met, to mummy and daddy, to his toys in the corner, to anyone he would meet. Anything he could think of, apparently, it was their birthday that particular day. Now, why do we sing Happy Birthday? Why do we celebrate every year the birth of someone? I'm sure it's because we acknowledge the gift of life, don't we? And every time a baby is born, it is thoroughly worth celebrating, isn't it? Because great news is a cause for celebration. Now, I need your help as we go through the passage today. I need your help to remind me of what the big idea of the talk is today. So when I say great news is a cause for, I want you to shout out celebration. Okay, so let's go to practice. Because great news is a cause for
celebration.
Today, you see in the passage, Jesus does a bit of show and tell. And as he does show and tell, he wants his disciples to see, to send and to sing, alright? So the takeaway for today is that great news is a cause for
celebration.
Because Jesus wants us to sing, send, and sing. Right. So firstly we see that it's show and tell from Jesus, from verse 36. While Jesus' disciples were talking about what had happened, Jesus appeared and greeted them. They were frightened and terrified because they thought they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus said, "Why are you so frightened? Why do you doubt? Look at my hands and my feet. See who I am. Touch me and find out for yourselves. Ghosts don't have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And after Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. See, Jesus wanted his disciples, wanted his friends to know in absolute certainty, he is him. See who I am. And not just show and tell, right? But touch and tell. I mean, can you imagine putting your finger in the wounds of his hands, right? Gross! But so committed is Jesus for his disciples to know. Yes, it is me. Yes, I've been raised from the dead. Yes, that person that you once saw hanging up on a Roman cross, laid in the empty tomb, is the same person that you see standing before you today. Then he goes even further, doesn't he? Verse 41. The disciples were so glad and amazed that they couldn't believe it. I mean, would you take some time with it? Take it in. Jesus then asked them, "Have you got something to eat?" And they gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it as they watched. I mean, can you imagine being there in the room and Jesus has got something to eat? And then you sort of go, "Oh, okay," and you serve up some fish, and then you sort of kind of sit there and just kind of eating the fish. Yeah. Imagine, you know, your son, your daughter, your grandchild goes into school and just brings some food with them. It's their turn for show and tell. And they come up and they bring their lunch, and they go, "I've brought my lunch today." He sits down and starts eating. And everyone else in the room is like, but of course, for Jesus, the point is, yes, it's really me. Yes, I'm physically here. I am fully here. In fact, I am here in such a way that it almost transcends your understanding, right? I mean, we can't imagine a person once tortured, you know, deformed in their physical appearance, died horrifically, laid in a tomb, and then all of a sudden appearing really physically there. Jesus wanted them to know. He wanted them to see. And even though they had their doubts, even though they were frightened and wondering, what on earth does this all mean? Jesus breaks through. He wants them to see. See, guys, this is great news, and great news is a cause for
celebration.
But it didn't stop there yet, because then Jesus says, from verse 44, he said to them, "While I was still with you, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the books of the prophets, and the Psalms had to happen." Then he helped them understand the scriptures. He told them, "The scriptures say that the Messiah must suffer, and 3 days later he will rise from death. They also say that all people of every nation must be told in my name to turn to God in order to be forgiven." He just showed them. I find it so striking that Jesus, who you would think, here is the evidence, here is the man in the room eating fish, but even still Jesus visiting in their presence, where's he directing to? He directs them to the Bible, right? So for Jesus, it is not enough to physically be in his presence. But even for Jesus, he says, "Look at this. Open this up. This is what it says. This is what it says about me." And so, you know, 20 centuries plus later, we don't have the physical Jesus here in the room. But Jesus is not up there thinking, "Oh, well, you guys, you get it second rate. You know, I guess now you're stuck with a book because you don't have me." No, Jesus is saying, "Me, Jesus, I point to this. Right? Because this points to me." The man himself says, open it up. When you do, give it time, read it through. You will see me, and I will tell you, this is who I am. I have really been raised from the dead. All your life, all of existence is about me, about Jesus. He wants you to see. He wants you to see. It doesn't stop there, because of course, any more will need to see, don't they? And so Jesus says to his disciples, I will send you. So, beginning in Jerusalem, you must tell everyone everything that has happened. I will send you the one my Father has promised. You must stay with him until you are given power from heaven. Once we see, now we have a responsibility. Because Jesus doesn't just say it's good to know. It's good that you see. No, he doesn't stop there. He wants the world to see. He wants the world to see. He wants every single person in this room to see. I am risen. The reason why we say he is risen, Christ is risen, and not Christ has risen, it's not because Christians down to this section just don't know their grammar. Because he is alive. Still. He is alive. Still. He's running in heaven. Still. And he'll one day come back again. Before that happens, he is sending us out, sending us out, sending us out. But here's the thing. We won't go unless we see. And that order is actually Jesus' order here, isn't it? Show and tell. Now go and tell. See. Send. And it's great news, right? Great news. Jesus is risen. Go and tell. And great news, we know, is a cause for
celebration.
And as we go, as he sends us, I think it's so beautiful. Luke, I think, of all the gospel writers, really emphasizes the joy that Jesus brings. When you see, when you recognize he sends you, you can't help but sing. Have you ever wondered why Christians sing in church? Right? Why do we sing in church? Well, here's what Jesus says. Here's what God's word says. From verse 50, Jesus led his disciples out to Bethany, where he raised his hands and blessed them. And as he was doing this, he left and was taken up to heaven. And after his disciples had worshipped him, they returned to Jerusalem and were very happy. Very happy. They spent their time in the temple praising God. And seeing, descending, and seeing. And here's the one thing about the music. I'm quite lyrical about the music, all that. But the thing about singing, right? When you thought about this, music makes you feel a feeling. Words make you think a thought. Song makes you feel a thought. Enables you to express it. Enables it to shape you. When you're feeling low, you sing a song. Lifts your spirits, doesn't it? You're feeling distracted. You call it a song. All of a sudden, you focus. What are the words? What's the tune? Isn't such a wonderful thing that God has given all humankind, creating them, this wonderful ability to marry words with music and to praise the Lord. Do you ever wonder why it is that people can sing? Every nation, culture, language, all around the world. What is it about this phenomenon that people just connect with and engage? What makes us to sing? And so when we see and we recognize the wonderful privilege it is to go, he sends us. And it fills your heart and just wants to sing. Now I know that there may be a number of us in this room who when you talk about singing in church, you chuckle a bit, you see, you're not really sure, I don't like singing, I don't think I'm a good singer. Here's the thing. God doesn't care if you're a good singer, does he? I mean, the person next to you, if they're a believer, doesn't care if you're a singer or not, right? Because the point is, as your heart is filled. great news is a cause for
celebration.
Absolutely. Amen. I could have said that myself. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus into this world. Thank you that Jesus, you were so intent to show those disciples that you had really risen from the grave. That you gave them only a show and tell, but you actually gave them a bit of touch and tell, and you explained to them the meaning of this. Jesus, you came to fulfill God's promises from ages past. And what you have done now echoes into eternity. And so we pray, fill our hearts with such a clear sight of who you are. And as you send us into this world, wherever we go,